You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What it is, what's up, and welcome everyone to Faces and Feels. I'm your host, Rafe Hewson, and today I am joined by a very special guest. Now, the folks over at Southern Territory Wrestling have reached out to me because I've got a big show coming up in October called Destined for Victory. And who better to tell us about it than not only the ring announcer of Southern Territory Wrestling, but also the step-up general manager, and that's the one and only Chili. How are you today, my friend?
Hola, hola. I am wonderful. How are you feeling?
I am very good. We've both finished a long day's work here in rainy Perth, Western Australia. So it's going to be fun to not think about work and talk about some pro wrestling.
Yes, definitely. I'm keen as a bean.
Excellent, excellent. So whenever I do this thing, I was telling you a little bit about it, but for anybody that hasn't really kind of watched the show, I've always got the same gimmick to get started, then we see where it goes. And that really always just begins with, like, when you think back to how you first got into pro wrestling, whenever that was, what were some of the first faces that stood out to you, the personalities that really caught your interest and probably drew you into pro wrestling?
Well, I first saw wrestling probably, well, back when I was a kid, my dad, I think everybody had the game SmackDown, Just Bring It.
Hell yeah. Rock. Yeah, yeah. We all had it. Yeah, absolutely. Sick.
And so that was like just a mandatory requirement for anyone that loves wrestling, I think, that someone has seen that in their life. So that was like the beginning. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get into it much as like a preteen. I got more into it as an adult. So I started really watching it in 2020. Mm-hmm. And I watched a lot of New Japan.
Oh, great choice.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, I'm a huge New Japan fan.
I am obsessed with Kenny Omega.
Okay. So did that, I'm not going to derail you too much, but then did that translate you into an AEW fan?
WWE. Oh. Actually. So okay. I ended up just going and venturing because I watched, it was Tokyo Dome, Wrestle Kingdom, I think it was 13.
Yep.
That was the 2019. And it was one of the first times I'd watched Kenny match and I'd actually watched Shinsuke.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that was Kenny versus, was it Shinsuke and AJ Styles?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
That was also the first Wrestle Kingdom I ever watched. And it was Kenny, who was it?
I can't even remember.
Kushida or somebody? Because he was he was like junior heavyweight champion at the time. Yeah. But yeah, I watched that specifically. That was the Wrestle Kingdom that got me into New Japan too. I remember seeing the promo with like Shinsuke versus AJ Styles because I was aware of AJ. And then I saw this promo and there's this amazing, you know, charismatic Japanese man like kind of laying on this couch luxuriously. And I have no idea what he's saying, but I'm like transfixed by who he is. I'm like, who is this dude? Like, what is this? And I managed to get hold of the show and watched it. And I was like, this is what, like, I need to be watching. This is what I've been looking for in pro wrestling for, like, my whole life.
Literally, I think there was, so that was initially what brought me into it. I was like, because when I first watched wrestling, I was like, wow, this is a lot of good-looking people doing a lot of really cool things. And so obviously I was like, Kenny, amazing. Mm-hmm. And then I started getting into it a bit more and then I was like, Shinsuke, I was like, this, just the entire gimmick, it was just, I love flamboyant. Mm-hmm. I love the energy. And so like just seeing him do him, I was like, I've got to see like what this guy's about. And then
sure.
It was jump from them to WWE and then AJ Styles and like it was the whole move into it. I then ended up becoming, and I still have a very, very big love and obsession with Sheamus. Mm-hmm. And Cesaro.
Okay. From their tag days, like in that kind of era as well. Yeah, absolutely.
So I ended up watching I ended up getting that like really into them and then looking back at old school things and then it was just watching back like learning, I guess, the history of it was just watching the past, like mm-hmm. watching. I watched a lot of documentaries as well. I love the documentaries. And so I built up a lot of my knowledge watching the documentaries. And then mm-hmm. I'm someone who likes to like listen to testimonials and stuff like that. And so what, like listening to these people talk about like their training experiences and how they got to where they are and seeing what they were doing. And I love performing. So mm-hmm. it's always been something that I was like, oh, I could do this one day. Mm-hmm. But I actually never knew that there was any local like wrestling at that point. So oh, I didn't actually know about local Perth wrestling until 2021, maybe.
Yeah, I was the same. I didn't see any, like, independent wrestling, like, in Australia until, like, my 30s. You know what I mean? Like, and it was the same in those kind of later years. But how you sort of, you know, informed yourself with documentaries and things like that, that's how I got into podcasting, because then, like, I was learning about, you know, New Japan and stuff. And so I went looking for stuff and started to, at that point, people were starting to, you know, break down kayfabe and talk about stuff on podcasts and things like that. So I just deep dived into all that and listened to podcasts with all my old, you know, WWF favorites and WCW favorites and things like that. And then that really sort of expanded my fandom in wrestling. And then I'd obviously go on to a few years later start my own podcast. But that was the exact same kind of journey, like saw some really cool stuff and then just when I get kind of obsessed with something a little bit, I just like want to know everything about it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But then I've got to be super careful now because I've been pretty exposed to it for a while and I burn out on stuff. And like when I'm real busy and things like, and I'm doing all of it, I'm like, and now I cut this out of my life. And I'm like, I don't want to do that because I put so much work into this. So
I like try to do the same thing, especially like having wrestling on the TV. It's like I'm a visual learner at that point as well when it comes to learning that stuff. And mm-hmm. so I love watching like the footwork and stuff like that, the technicalities.
Yeah, sure. Things. Sure.
But sometimes it's like I can't anymore. I can't watch it. I can't listen to it. Yeah. I can't. Like, even the bumping of the ring, sometimes I'm like, oh, I need some, like, loop headphones.
Yeah. You just overexpose yourself, you know. But it's just, you've just got to balance things, and it's one of the harder things about being an adult, especially when you don't have limitations on stuff. You can be like, I can consume this shit 24/7. And it's like, but I probably shouldn't. Because here we are. So as you, like, you know, started to get into that and you're like, oh, I could probably do that. How did you then – like we have met in the world of Perth wrestling before because I do work, you know, commentary for Dude Where's My Ring, and you've helped out and done ring announcing there, and obviously I'm familiar with Southern Territory wrestling. How did you end up getting involved with the actual local wrestling? Was it like you saw a show and you just spoke to somebody, or what was your kind of roundabout story? Because mine was I had to create a podcast for like 4+ years and then meet Michelle in Melbourne while like had some other show thing. And then another friend from Melbourne be like, oh, if you're putting on a show, you should speak to Rafe to help you with venues and things like that. And then while all that was happening and we were becoming friends, I was like, do you need somebody to take care of this commentary thing? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, cool, now I got to figure it out. Like, what was your roundabout way? Like, did you, because I know you've trained a little bit, like what was the road in, you know?
So mine's actually very simple. Mm. I found a wrestler and I married him.
Oh, that sounds easier. That sounds easier than what I did.
I found a wrestler. So I found my husband, Dylan Black. He was training with EPW at the time, and I was like, we were obsessed with it. That was kind of our connection into our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it wasn't, so I ended up having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And congratulations. Then it wasn't until after the baby I was like, all right, cool, I'm gonna start training. And then I just did it. I just got where I needed to be, and then I did the training. Wow. I think I ended up doing that for probably around maybe 4 months before mm-hmm. I started doing the announcing.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So that is one way to do it.
I cheated the system.
Yeah, exactly. But it's interesting though, because I'm sure that's not how, you know, you didn't intend to sort of find your way in that way. But it's interesting how things sort of work, you know, mutual interests and stuff like that. My wife and I got Married Before Double or Nothing in Vegas, like the very first AEW show, because she knew I wanted to see it, really. Like, you know, she was like, became a New Japan fan along with me and stuff like that, and we were huge Kenny Omega fans. Remind me to tell you my story about when I met Kenny Omega, if you're a fan of his, because he's a wonderful person. But we had been together for 10 years, and so our anniversary was coming up, like our, 10-year anniversary. And it's obviously something I wanted to go to, but there's no way. It's like the other side of the world. But she surprised me with tickets. And we were like, when we're in Vegas, we might just get married anyway. And we just did it the morning of that show.
That is the best day ever.
Yeah, it was great because StarCast was happening around it. So it was an entire week of just me hanging out with my best friend and to-be wife and just like – going to, wrestling panels and fan events and then also seeing the sights of Vegas and drinking everywhere and stuff like that, and then going to Double or Nothing and then going to the after party till like 4 a.m. and dancing with all the wrestlers and hanging out and stuff like that. It was a really amazing week. Like, it's the only time I've been to America and it was like just a week to be married, basically.
You had the best week in America.
Yeah, exactly. I was very happy with it. And then obviously the world ended not long after that. That was in, I think that was 2019.
Oh, I know, COVID then.
Yeah, yeah. It was like just before sort of all that stuff kind of happened, you know. So, yeah, kind of got in and got out there.
No, it was funny how it happened. So my husband and I, we did meet on Tinder. Oh. Yeah, and he had a wrestling picture.
Whatever works, you know what I mean? If it leads to you actually meeting somebody.
It was one of him in gear doing a move, and I instantly swiped right, instantly messaged him, oh, my God, you're a wrestler? I love wrestling.
He's like, this is the first time this has actually worked.
So it was an entire conversation because then we had the normal conversation you have of like, oh, who do you like? Who do you watch? Sort of thing.
Yeah, sure.
And come later on, like after we're married, we have the conversation and he's like, to be honest, I was so surprised. Like that conversation, usually people will say the usuals like, oh, I know The Rock. I know John Cena.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That's so cute. So it pretty much straight away became something more serious just by, pro wrestling and your mutual interest in it.
Yes, yeah. Literally. It was perfect.
Yeah. That's awesome. And how long have you guys been together now?
So we will be together for 3 years, married 1 in January.
Cute. Well, there you go. See, pro wrestling, bringing people together. At the end of the show, I always say it's all about peace, love, and pro wrestling. And there you go. Chili is proof. Chili and Dylan Black.
I need that as a bumper sticker.
People have asked me to make them, and I am very lazy and have not done it. And by lazy, I mean incredibly busy in my real life. But I should. And also, this podcast has never made me a red cent. So. How am I supposed to run this shit? But
bumper stickers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Another saying that I had was like, if it's not deathmatch or drag race, miss me with that shit. That was another one that people quite liked as well.
Well, see, that was the perfect thing about Kenny is that that's how I actually got to deathmatch. So when Dude came, like,
yeah,
amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, it was an exciting extravaganza that happened, mm-hmm. because like I got into deathmatch essentially because of Kenny, and then like when he tried to bring it over to AEW, it was even more hectic, and then you had people just going absolutely sideways with it.
Yeah, see, that's funny. That I actually love to hear that, because the ill-fated exploding barbed wire deathmatch on AEW, people hang a lot of shit on because like the end sort of gimmick didn't really play out, you know what I mean? The fireworks stuffed up and something. And so everybody kind of writes that off like it was this huge failure of a match. But I think it really brought that kind of style into prominence. And I think there were a lot of people that were exposed to it that never would have been, you know? I think it kind of deserves a lot of credit. And him and Mox tried to do something pretty cool.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and the fact that, like, I think it was because they ended up doing two, I think, overall, like extreme rules, hardcore matches.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't even remember which one it was, but it was, you could see everything. Like you could see like every part of his face, and there wasn't one part that didn't have blood on
it. Have you seen any of Moxley's like death matches at GCW and things like that?
Yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah. So I think I don't even remember when it, because that was a long time. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, my cat is trying to get into this call.
All animals are welcome on this podcast.
Oh, perfect. Mm-hmm. No, I think it was that would have been a year ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
When everything started coming to light, everything like Perth Wrestling started coming into deathmatch and stuff like that.
Just over a year ago that we did the first show, right? Like at Badlands.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, like, I think it was around that time, like, I started getting into a bit more, like, what was happening, because it was coming to Perth, it was coming to Australia. And so I was like, oh, I need to, like, brush up, because not going to lie, like, other than the AEW initially, like, AEW exposure and the New Japan exposure, I didn't have much into it. Like, I wasn't going deep into that. Hardcore stuff.
Yeah, of course. It's what comes across your bow, right? Like, and what you're exposed to. I've told the story on the podcast before, but I'm going to tell it to you. And if anybody's heard it before, sorry about it. Hit 30 seconds forward on your thing. But I sort of saw it by accident for the first time. So we had gone to Japan to see New Japan, like to go to Wrestle Kingdom. And when they do that, all the other promotions in Japan have like lots of shows around it, you know, at Korakuen Hall and things like that. All that stuff is going on, and they're always handing out flyers and stuff. And my friend that lives here in Perth, her brother is a wrestler, a Perth wrestler known as Chris Weiss, who lives in Japan. And also would then come on to, it's not on YouTube yet, but is like in the headline match of the, you know, the year anniversary dude show. But so Chris Weiss was wrestling for 01, and Sally had said, hey, if you guys aren't doing anything, you should go check out his show. And we like literally walked up to the box office. It was on that night, and walked in to see it. And then when we were there, there was kind of a little bit of hardcore stuff, but nothing crazy. They're handing out flyers for Big Japan. And we were like looking at what other shows we could make, and there was a big flyer, and it was like 100 Light Tube Deathmatch. And I was like, do you guys want to go see Big Japan? I want to see them. I don't know what this is. I think it's kind of bloody, but would you guys be cool? And like my wife and our friend was like, yeah, sure. And we went, and it was like everything. Like it was like hanging the light tubes off the robe. Everybody in the front rows just starts putting on ponchos and glasses. We're like, what's everybody doing, kind of thing? And then the glass just started flying and stuff, and we were transfixed. We were like, this is unbelievable what's taking place here.
It's insane.
And then you're trying to leave, and all the wrestlers are like in the lobby doing signings, but they're like covered in blood. It's like Abdullah Kobayashi just like gushing blood. And I was like, this is crazy. And then that started me kind of researching it. I didn't know then that I would go on to do a podcast, that I would go on to interview deathmatch wrestlers, like so many of the famous, you know, deathmatch wrestlers, that I would go on to be a part of the first deathmatch wrestling to ever come to Perth. Like, you know, I didn't know any of that at the time. But, yeah, it's crazy when you rewind and you're like, what? Amy was saying to me the other day, she was like, what fucking weird world do we live in where all these things, like, happened? She's like, it's crazy that happened. And I'm like, I know. Like,
I feel like COVID was a massive reset, and then things shifted. Like everything was like I feel like pro wrestling came to its biggest light like during COVID.
Yeah, absolutely, and especially deathmatch wrestling, because when you know everybody was dealing with all these restrictions and stuff, deathmatch wrestling has always run outdoors quite a lot. So companies like GCW and ICW, No Holds Barred and things like that, they were just still running tournaments outdoors. I remember tuning in live at like 8 a.m. to watch ICW No Holds Barred Volume 2, which was just in like a parking lot in Atlantic City. There's like people sitting on roofs around it. They've got chains instead of ropes. Casanova Valentine versus Nick Gage for the first match, and Cass comes out with like signal flares with like black smoke, and they're just throwing glass around. And I'm like, this is what I've been looking for my entire fucking life. Like, this is so cool. And like at that point, I was doing the podcast, but I hadn't done any interviews yet. And I was like, this is crazy, you know, kind of thing. And then I'm now friends with all those people through interviewing them all.
I find it wild how everyone knows everyone in wrestling.
Yeah. It's very like that, isn't it?
It's not everyone knows everyone here in Perth wrestling or here in Australian wrestling. It's worldwide. Like, everyone knows someone. Like, I know someone that knows someone that works over there. Yeah. Someone.
It's a crazy networking thing. And and as much like negativity as it can cop, you know, because of certain individuals and things like that, there is a vast majority that are amazing, amazing people, you know, and they're very, yeah, exactly. And they know it's this niche thing. And at the end of the day, we're all fans and it's just like an awesome thing to share, you know.
And that's exactly like, that was something that was like a very wild shift for me when I went from like watching it to then training to now doing stuff like in ring. It's, it's gotten to the point where I'm like, I don't know when I can stop, how far I can go.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's absolutely. It just comes down to like time and effort and things like that. You know, at the moment I'm going through a real sort of like balance struggle with like podcasting and doing like my job has picked up and done different things, and I'm trying to like balance everything because I really don't want to give it away. You know what I mean? It'd be very easy to just go, I'm just not going to do this anymore and just get time back into my life, you know. But it's this, like, special thing that, like, you've worked so hard and you've cultivated all these relationships and stuff that even though it can kind of feel like, oh, man, this is an extra thing on my day, you then have a conversation like this or you go to something like Dude or whatever and it just all feels worth it, right? Like, it's like, this is why I do this. It's just all the stuff around it that is the issue, it's, you know?
Yeah, and, like, especially because there are so many different characters.
Yeah.
Like, we're all performers, and, like, some performers are, like, to themselves, some performers are just as wild as they are in character as they are in person. And it,
yeah, that is so true.
And so it's like always try to find that balance of people and, yeah, the balance in like relationships that you have in wrestling and like the communication is key.
That is it, because there's plenty of dramas and things like that as well. But but at the end of the day, you know, everybody's kind of working towards the same thing, which is, you know, the betterment of wrestling and having fun in that space.
Yes, like I was obsessed with what they're doing, I think, over East, how they've got the union and they're all coming together and you can have, like, they can all do each other's belts at each other's companies and stuff.
That's great. Yeah,
that's
incredible. Unheard of.
Yeah, I'm like.
Well, I mean, not unheard of because the NWA and stuff used to exist, but, yes, I know what you're saying, like, in Australia and in.
Yeah, it's incredible. And we are seeing it. We are seeing it a lot more now, like. Yeah. Not an awful lot, but it's definitely happening and it's great because it's like it's opening up the community to knowing more people, to knowing more wrestling and bringing more people into it. Like that's, we just want to share what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's really cool. And, I mean, there doesn't need to be those kind of barriers. I mean, wrestling initially way back in the day was always that, and then sort of the WWE sort of created this model where they got to a certain level and then shut everybody out. But it's really cool to even see crossovers happening now. You know what I mean? Like Impact crossing over with NXT or whatever it was and, you know, and New Japan and AEW or whatever it is. Like it's just cool that, like, the more exposure that everybody can get, I think is really good.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. So, I love it.
So what is next for you then? So we got through everything we did, some basic training and stuff like that. You have been ring announcing. Was that, once you got through the train stuff, was that like a big goal for you, like to start somewhere to get into that hosting kind of position or?
So again, my husband, there was a, when we were doing training, there was a a closed door showcase that was happening. Mm-hmm. And that was an opportunity for all the trainees to come together to put a show on for the friends and family, a private show for the friends and family. Mm-hmm. And that was like the beginning of people learning like the production side or the camera side or just doing anything that you haven't done before. Mm-hmm. You got that opportunity to do it, try it, learn it. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have an announcer. And my husband was walked past a conversation where they said, oh, we need an announcer. Do you know anyone loud? And he went, oh, my wife's loud.
Like, you're like, what?
And so, yeah, he comes home and he's like, hey, I've put you up for this gig. And so they'll message you. Like, and so, yeah, they ended up messaging me. And I was like, yeah, I will definitely try. And mm-hmm. I ended up going from doing that one show to doing all of the showcases for ESPW. Mm-hmm. And then I got some confidence under my belt and went, I can take this elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just started sharing. I've gone mm-hmm. to SDW. Mm-hmm. I want to keep going everywhere. I would love to travel and do the announcing.
Yeah, sure.
I'd love to travel and do the wrestling, but
absolutely. And so are you still actively training in wrestling as well?
Yes. So I am still actively training mm-hmm. and I will be debuting at SDW Step Up October 26th.
Oh, there you go. How exciting. So first in-ring match, eh?
Yes. So I'm very excited, very nervous. Mm-hmm. I'm probably more excited that it is against my husband.
That's funny.
Yes.
We guaranteed win for you then.
You're going to have to come find out.
Yeah. You think it would be in his best interest to let that one play out in your favour otherwise?
You'd think, but honestly, he's got a set on him, so
yeah,
he'll go for it.
A bit merciless. Yeah, okay then. Well, either way,
that's no mercy household.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm sure some family issues will be settled there and then at that show.
We've been holding it in. I'm ready.
You're ready. You're ready. That's it. The only time that can happen. And tell me a little bit about the big show. So that's the Step Up show. And then obviously there's the Destined for Victory show, which is the big show. Is it the same day? It's October 26th as well, is it?
So Step Up is the subsidiary show mm-hmm. to STW, so that is the pre-show.
Sure.
So that is, yeah. So we start off with Step Up and mm-hmm. then we have a short little break and then we go into STW, Southern Territory Wrestling.
Great. And is it just the one ticket sort of does everything, or are they two separate tickets to do pre-show? And
so it's you have your standard ticket, general ticket admission for STW, and then for an additional $10 you can get into Step Up.
There you go. Only an extra $10.
Yes, it's a bargain, and we have a lot to offer. We've got our champ Noel Green, so mm-hmm. and obviously me.
What else do they need? You are the general manager of Step Up as well.
I am, yes. I was appointed. So I am a co-general manager. Mm. So I have Cal Collins. He's
oh, yeah, I know Cal.
Yes, Cal.
Cal. That motherfucker, he comes in to do it all the time. He sucks. As a human, not as a wrestler.
You know, and so I do co-GM with him.
Yeah.
And I think I started that maybe around 2-3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. So does this mean if something isn't going your way in the match, you can restart it or something like that because you've got the authority to kind of make it go your way?
I got the power.
Yeah, there you go. See,
I have the power.
Probably will work out. Absolutely. Well, this is going to be really exciting. And there's some pretty impressive matches coming in on Destined for Victory because isn't like Paul London is on this show, right? Like it's a big show.
We have a huge show. So we actually do have a meet and greet as well and mm-hmm. I'll be doing a little interview with Paul London.
Oh, that's great.
And that'll be prior to the show. We're very excited. I'm thrilled. I mean, like mm-hmm. the same thing as soon as we got the confirmation, I was like just nosedove into research and to mm-hmm. just like because I'd seen so many things and then all of a sudden like I watch Binge a lot and like you know how you have like the random WWE channel?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was like I was watching it last week and just randomly out of nowhere. It was a Paul London match.
Oh, great.
It was one of his tag team matches, yeah. And I was like, this is insane. And I just started watching.
What's
like,
the chance of awesome. That? Yeah.
I'm like, I'm so excited. Like, it's someone that you've grown up watching and now you're going to be next to him. Like, it's one thing seeing him on a TV. It's another thing having them right next to you, watching them wrestle, being there, just talking with him. Like, I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And did you ever see his Lucha Underground stuff as well?
Yes. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
I love that show.
I love Lucha Underground. Yeah, so that was, a huge part of my starting into it. I'm South American. Uh-huh. And, yes, and my partner likes to make a lot of jokes about that. Uh-huh. But that was, like, a big part of it as well. Like, I've always adored, like, luchador wrestling. It's just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's my son's nickname is Lucho.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That seems appropriate, having two wrestlers for parents.
my daughter's middle name is Cesara because I was obsessed with Cesaro when she was born.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you're a girl, your middle name's Cesara.
Did she know? Did she understand?
She's only four, so she's obsessed with wrestling right now. She's
Okay.
Mom and Dad wrestling. She thinks it's very cool. Uh-huh. They know our theme songs like that.
Yeah.
They know a lot of actual like theme songs. Actually, it's pretty wild.
That's great. And does your son enjoy the wrestling as well?
Yeah, they both love it. They wrestle each other. They wrestle us. They are they're very wild child vibes.
That's great. That's awesome. I think a family that wrestles together stays together. I think that's there's some kind of motto in there that's quite nice.
Yes.
That is great. So tell everybody the deets for this show, where they follow SCW, where they follow you, where they follow your husband, everything like that. Let's get in all the plugs in one big go
Alrighty.
Here.
Alrighty. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you are wanting to get tickets to our next show, that is STW Southern Territory Wrestling Destined for Victory, head on to our Facebook page and there'll be a ticket link on there. We do currently have some special packages. If you use the code word Chili, C-H-I-L-I, you do get $5 off tickets.
There you go. Look at that. Chili hooking you up right from the start. So that means, I mean, if you're getting the $5 off, that means it's only $5 to get into the Step Up show as well.
Exactly. And that is an absolute bargain in itself because you will be able to see me and Noah Green go up against Dylan Black and Blake Walker in the main event for Step Up as my debut.
There you go. Absolutely. Already pulling strings, putting yourself in the main event as well.
It was written well before me. I have to state that.
Will they have to see Cal as well, or is he like in the UK or something? Is he going to be?
So Cal will, I believe, will hopefully be at this show. He was at the last show, so he is the reason why I was able actually to be in the show. I did attempt to put myself in this situation and put the match up, and obviously we had Luther Edmonton come out and destroyed me, head of office, and pretty much said I couldn't do that.
Rude.
But Cal came out with the save and as co-GM allowed the match to happen.
Oh, there you go. See, he's not that bad. Maybe he's not that bad.
No, he's not. Trust me.
Yeah, he's just always been a bit of a dick to me. But I guess, you know, different promotion, different actions, different, you know, extenuating circumstances and all that stuff. Maybe we just got off on the wrong foot. So maybe that's what it is.
Maybe just don't catch him at a dude show.
Yeah, that's for the best. Let's hope that that's the case on September 13th. But either way, this sounds amazing. So you use the code, you get an extra $5 off October 26th, Destined for Victory. Is there anything else we should highlight on the show as if we haven't enough? What else? Because I know Chris Target and Gorgeous Gary are both new champions at STW, so I assume they'll both be having matches, which will be pretty huge.
Yes, and of course we have Layla Devine as well. She did take the championship, the women's championship belt at the last show.
Did she?
Yes.
Well, Layla like does a lot of work with Dude, and I remember it feels like not even that long ago that she was debuting and she's already champion.
So she's not a champion yet. This is a thing.
Oh, she just stole it.
She stole it.
Oh, that's some real dude energy there. I appreciate that. That's awesome.
she stole that belt. She
oh,
stole
wow.
That belt. Layla. Oh, my goodness. I have been hearing Harley go through the winds with it. And so we will hopefully be seeing something happen there. The belt will hopefully go to a rightful owner.
Mm.
And, yeah, we've had Chadwick lose the belt to Gorgeous Gary. I mean, that was incredible. Like, it was a wild moment. Like, I'm so happy for Gorgeous Gary. Like, I mean, he's just amazing. He's such a wonderful guy. He's so sweet. And then we also have, obviously, yes, Chris Target. We had him in a triple threat last show, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was wild. Like, it was absolutely hectic. We had Craven and Target. And we had the special guest as Andrew Carter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the Shark himself.
Yeah, it was wild.
Former guest of the show, Andrew the Shark Carter, and also the, inventor of Southern Territory Wrestling, was in there.
Yes, he was. And there was trouble. There was a lot of trouble.
When I heard a rumor that you may have been assaulted by Chris Target. Is this true?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. So this was, I believe, two shows ago, and I was absolutely shocked. I couldn't believe it. I was asked to step in for the manager, Deli, as he was unwell. He was just not able to be at the show.
Sure.
And he was like, hey, I need you to pass on this information. Like, if any shifty stuff happens, just get this done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sweet, I got you. Uh-huh. Like, I didn't expect what to happen. It was a low blow to Julio, a super kick. And then I was like, I just got to tell her. I just got to say my piece.
Yeah.
As soon as I said just a word, it was just
super kicked you right in the face, right in the chops.
This job
out of line. You're an authority figure.
Oh my goodness! And it was actually earlier that show as well at Step Up that I got Cyborg slammed by Blake Walker.
Okay, rude by everybody there. That's
And head of office decided to message me and say that I shouldn't have assaulted. Yes, the talent. Yeah, I was protecting talent.
Right. Protecting. Oh, well, it's good that I believe Blake Walker is in your first match, so let's even those scores there and then, bide your time, and I'm sure there'll be an opportunity one day to get your revenge on Target.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. eventually I have a list. Yeah. I'll have to go through.
I know you go by chili, but they say vengeance is best served cold. So, just bide your time and it'll pay off.
Yes. Well, there's another thing they say, chili con carnage.
So you've already got your finisher name picked out. You're good to go. That is great. Where does everybody follow you on social media?
So you can follow me on Instagram. So it is chili.laluchadora.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is just on Instagram. I have all of my link trees on there as well. And then you can also find my husband, Dylan Black, and he's Dylan_Black_PW, and he's on Instagram as well. So our main sources are from Instagram. We're the best contacted by through there. You'll see all of our updated shows, whatever we're doing, whatever trouble everyone's getting up to.
All documented there on Instagram. That's awesome.
Yes.
Plus, obviously, in the show notes, I'll have it all there for you with their links, everything to do with STW, the links to the show, the tickets, everything like that. Well, I want to thank you so much, Chili. It's been fun getting to catch up with you today, just run through a little bit of your history and talk some pro wrestling. It's been fun.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This has been absolutely wonderful.
Literally anytime. Absolute pleasure, yeah? So everybody out there, make sure you check out everything Chili, everything Dylan Black, everything Southern Territory Pro Wrestling. And remember, it's all about peace, love, and pro wrestling. Peace out. Thanks for listening. Faces and Feels is a proud member of the Count Out Podcasting Network. It is created and hosted by me, Rafe Houston, edited by myself and the amazing Ryan Neitzie. And the show is available on all good podcast platforms, so please go rate and subscribe. You can follow the show everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. at Faces Feels Cast. And you can check out the Countout Network and all our sister shows over there at Countout Pod. If you'd like to book me for commentary, have an interview request, a topic suggestion, or you just want to say hi, you can email us at facesandfeels@gmail.com. With all that said, thanks for listening, and please support our friends and sponsors. Peace.
My body is a roadmap of pain.
DeathmatchWorldwide.com, the official online merchandise store that is only for Deathmatch Wrestling. Featuring official t-shirts from No Peace Underground, John Wayne Murdoch, Akira, Madman Pondo, Zona 23, Neil Diamond Cutter, G Raver, Schlack, Necro Butcher, and many more. If you are a deathmatch wrestler, promotion, manager, or platform, and are interested in joining the web store, send us an email to deathmatchworldwide@yahoo.com. Deathmatchworldwide.com for the violent view.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Hello, my name is Jessica and I'm the host of Jumpy Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan podcast. Join me and a guest each month as we cover all that went down in the ring, outside of the ring and everywhere else. Big title matches, tournaments, character arcs, storytelling, feuds and more. It's all covered on Jumpy Knee Pod. Look out for a bonus episode every once in a while covering a variety of All Japan topics. So make sure you tune into Jumpy Knee Pod. It's a new All Japan podcast for a new All Japan era.